Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you that on Sunday mornings at 10:30, we have a Zoom fellowship service where you can actually watch this video or you know, listen to this lesson and meditation, have discussion about the lesson, hear music, interact with other Unity folks. So if you'd like to have that kind of community, please check in with us and worship with us on Sunday mornings. The link to that Zoom service is in either the e-newsletter or the weekly update. Now, if you're not receiving either one of those, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org in order to sign up so that you can have that link to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. And also, if you find this service to be inspiring, we are very thankful for your donations, the continued support what Unity Center of Light is doing, both in our spiritual community and in the community in general. So, and if you stand to yourself, I'd like to donate, but I don't know how. If you're watching this on YouTube, just click the Show More button right below this screen, and you can see all the ways that you can donate. And again, we are thankful for all your donations. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in our lives and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 15th. The key word is generous, and the affirmation is abundance of the world flows through me. I am securely in the flow of prosperity when I receive graciously and gratefully and share my abundance generously. Whatever I share with a loving, giving heart blesses me as much as it blesses the one who receives it. Each time I share of my supply, I am demonstrating my trust that I will always have what I need. When I share of myself, I'm living my faith that I am a divine being empowered with a limitless supply of divine ideas. The richness of an abundant universe flows through me. Knowing this, I don't hesitate to be generous so others will know the abundance of the world as I know it. Through my giving, may they also know the blessings of the awesome power and grace of God as they bless me daily. The scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 2:12, and it reads, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, today's lesson, the three actions of God in our lives. But, before I began this lesson, I, researched the most tragic events happening in the world today. Many of them we see on the news, but there, when I did that research, there are so many things, tragic things happening in the world that we're just not aware of because they didn't make the news. And I did this because I wanted to have in mind the human suffering that is happening in the world so that I don't lose sight of that as I was creating this lesson, okay? In other words, I didn't want to create this lesson in a bubble. Meaning, from the point of view of my life and the life of those in my circle of friends and family and acquaintances, how their lives are, I'm stuck in that mindset and I really don't understand the mindset of those who are suffering at much at great levels. And we see this in the news frequently, but like I said, when you do that research, you find there is so much suffering that we know nothing about. And even though there are challenges in my circle, in some cases extreme challenges, at some level they don't seem to equate to the extreme suffering of many in the world today, especially those who've been suffering basically all their lives, who were born into war, born into poverty, born into suffering. And yes, I agree that suffering is suffering no matter what the degree, but I think that sometimes we may watch the news, cringe a little bit, and then go on about our lives, you know? And I realize that in so many world events, there may not be anything that I can do that would have a significant impactful, a significant impact on a national or global scale. You know, you think about it, you say, what can I do about, personally, about some of the things that are happening in the world? But I can do what is mine to do, which is continue to teach about our innate capacity to be impactful on a spiritual scale. So we may not be able to be impactful on a national or global scale, but we can be impactful on a spiritual scale. And I think that by now we all get that we are spiritual beings who have a divine commission to be the light in times of tragedy and travesty. Okay? And the term tragedy in these times is referring to the dreadful events and disasters that result in, you know, great sadness, injury, death, loss, destruction. And also the term travesty is referring to something that is shocking, upsetting, or ridiculous, because an organization or whatever is not operating the way it's supposed to be. So a travesty is something that is absurd, distorted, a distorted representation of something that should be good for the good of the whole. And I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to let you come up with your own conclusions as to what are the tragedies and travesties in our communities, our nation, and the world. But our work, right here, right now, is to look within ourselves and do the work necessary to let our light shine so that we can become a beacon of hope and faith for those in our circle of friends and family and acquaintances. You know, our spiritual home, you know, anybody we impact, we can be that beacon of light. And if we all did the work to be a beacon of light, let's say we were all working to be a beacon of light, we could eventually have a wider spiritual impact. You know, that is sort of like back in the days of multi-level marketing, they would say, if you get five people and they get five people and so forth, well, we could use the same thing. You know, if I impact five people and they impact five people each, you know, we spread that whole beacon of light idea and we have a much greater spiritual impact. So to do that in this lesson, we're going to continue to explore the mystical lessons in Genesis to give us a greater understanding of the power and presence within us that can give us the strength and the courage to be the light with an ever-increasing intensity. Okay? Now, first let me repeat, some of you heard me share this when I was taking an advanced Bible course at Loyola College. The instructor came in and said to us that she wanted us to understand that all of Genesis and all of Revelation are pure allegory. Okay? An allegory being a story, poem, or picture that must be interpreted to reveal the deeper truth hidden within it. And Bible scholars say there is nothing in Genesis that should be taken literally or historically. Okay? That's kind of a shock to many of us who, you know, read Genesis and we think the things happened the way it was explained. But you have to understand, this is especially crucial when studying the Old Testament because it's written from a Jewish consciousness, which represents Jewish culture and customs and Jewish thinking and Jewish mysticism. So to truly gain access to the deeper truths buried in the stories in the Old Testament, we have to strive to understand it from a mystical translation, okay? Now, we typically call ourselves truth students, but I think a more common term for what we are striving to accomplish is that we are mystics, okay? Listen to this definition and let me know what you think of the definition in our discussion time that we have in our worship service. It says, a mystic is a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with and absorption into the deity or the absolute, and who believes in the spiritual apprehension of truth that's beyond the intellect. Okay? So if you think about that definition, we basically, you know, are mystics. You know, we're on this path to try to really, I like to be, you know, to apprehend the spiritual principles with more than just our intellect. So with that, what we just read and heard and understand as a backdrop, let's explore the names of God used in the Bible, especially in Genesis, to gain a greater understanding as to what this means in our individual and collective lives. All right. So let's start with what Bible scholars call the triune, the triune God, most known by us as the Trinity. Okay. So triune or Trinity means three persons in one God, or as we're exploring in this lesson, the three actions of God in our lives. And that's really what this lesson's about, the three actions of God in our lives. Those actions being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay, and we're gonna keep expanding on that so we understand how those actions work in our lives. So from a metaphysical perspective, we refer to the Trinity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Metaphysically, we look at that as mind, idea, expression, meaning mind produces the idea that eventually comes into expression. And this is going to be really kind of an extension of last week's talk, because that's what we were talking about back then as well, right? In the first creation, God created the pattern in God's mind. And in the second creation, that pattern began to manifest, okay? So this idea of mind produces the idea that eventually comes into expression. That is what we're interested in. An idea being that which brings forth from mind and eventually comes into expression in our lives, that is what we want to figure out how to happen. Because that's the nature of a prayer. That's the reason why a lot of times we pray. Now, many folks in New Age and New Thought disciplines prefer to use, instead of just the term Father, they prefer the term Father, Mother God, to include the divine feminine, and that's okay too. Because it's important to note that when you begin to transcend ego mind and evolve towards spiritual consciousness, you come to understand that no matter what title you use to refer to God, the divine feminine is always included with the divine masculine. Okay? So from the standpoint of wholeness or holiness, one cannot be without the other. Okay? So we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, expressing as mind, idea, expression. And it's interesting, you know, years ago we talked about this a lot. And that's why this whole series we're going through right now is, you know, starting from the beginning. Okay. Now, in last week's lesson we read, then God said, let us make humankind in our image and after our likeness. Now, the us and our in this verse is referring to the triune nature of God, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit being the expressing or manifesting attribute of God, mind, idea, expression. So in that Trinity, the Holy Spirit falls in the same space as expression, right? So the Holy Spirit being the expressing or manifesting attribute of God, which is why we often say, if you are looking for something to come into your life, you desire to manifest in your life, it is the Holy Spirit aspect of the Trinity that makes it happen. Okay? So in addition, this verse we just read from Genesis is referring to Elohim God as opposed to Yahweh God. Now, the importance of understanding the difference is to help us to know which aspect of God is being referred to when you're reading Scripture. Now, according to the Revealing Word, Elohim God is the original mind in creative action. So Elohim is the attribute of God's self that is being referred to when we say that God is first cause, meaning the beginning of the process of bringing our thoughts and our words into manifestation. Okay, so again, you think about this idea that, you know, we're always thinking about what we would like to unfold in our lives immediately, or we're projecting into the future, whatever. Okay, so this idea of Elohim God is what we're talking about as first cause. It's the first mind action to bring what it is that you want and you're praying for into manifestation. Now, I've created a slide to kind of break this down. If we dissect the word Elohim, we find that El means the strong and ever-sustaining one. The second half of the name actually comes from the word Allah and means to formulate by the power of the word. So Elohim is the attribute of God that through God's words, let there be, creates the pattern through which things come into manifestation. Okay? And again, when we're asking, we have this pattern in our mind, this thought in our mind of what we want in our lives. Okay, this is how the process is unfolding in the universe and within ourselves. The pattern is created for things to come into manifestation. And that means all things, especially those thoughts and words that we have a desire for a better outcome in our lives. We will say and we will think things that we want a better outcome in our lives. So Elohim represents the universal principle of being that sets forth the pattern for all creation. Right? Now Elohim is the attribute of God expressed in chapter 1 in Genesis. The God who spoke the words, let there be. So we ask in prayer, and this Elohim God says, in response to our prayer, let there be. Okay? So think of Elohim as first cause, the concept of mind in the metaphysical trinity, mind, idea, expression. Let me say this again. When you pray or you're saying in your mind or you're thinking or you're speaking, this is what I want, whether it's health in your body or things in your life or peace of mind or whatever it might be. Okay, Elohim God, in response to your asking, says, let there be. Okay, so it's letting the process to flow forward for that which you are asking for. So think of Elohim God as the ever-sustaining one, the one Jesus was referring to when he said, and now, Father, bring me into thy glory with the glory we shared before the world was made. Jesus was asking for his consciousness to be restored to the awareness of his relationship with first cause. In other words, to the point where he knew that when he asked, Elohim God was saying, let there be. Let there be that which you ask for. So first cause, again, the mind from which the pattern for manifestation is made. So when God says, let there be, Elohim God says, let there be in accordance to our asking, okay, the pattern is created. Because you might be saying, well, why didn't it just pop into my life? From Elohim God, the pattern for manifestation is created, okay? And that is what we're doing on our individual spiritual journey, whether we realize that we're doing it or not. We are asking for things, engaging Elohim God to say, let there be, but that's just the pattern, okay? So we're going to keep talking about, well, how do I make that pattern come into my life? Now, beginning in chapter 2 of Genesis, the expression or character of God shifts from Elohim, who creates the pattern, to Yahweh, known to us more commonly as Lord God or Jehovah, okay? Elohim is the original Hebrew word for Jehovah. Okay? It means the self-existent one who reveals itself to its creation through its creation. So Elohim God reveals itself to us, to me, to you. We're the creation, reveals itself through us, okay, through its creation. So when we are asking for God's presence in our life and affairs, it is Elohim God we're asking for. I'm sorry, it's Yahweh God we're asking for. Elohim God, we ask, Elohim God creates the pattern, says, let there be. But Yahweh is what brings that into our lives, okay? So when we're asking for God's presence in our lives and affairs, we usually ask for God's presence in terms of divine ideas, guidance, material things, whatever. That's typically what we're asking for. Okay, remember when we asked, Elohim said, let there be, okay? But it was creating the pattern. It is Yahweh, okay, that we're really asking when we want God's presence in our lives in the form of whatever it is that we want or need. Yahweh is what we're asking for. So Yahweh revealed itself to Moses. Okay, Moses is saying, why me? Okay, and he said, well, who are you? And God revealed itself, God's self to Moses as I am that I am. Okay, Exodus 3:14. And as it's recorded in Exodus 3:15, God said to Moses, this is my name forever, and this is how I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So that's what we talked a little bit last week, and we're going to talk more this week about the correct use of I am in our mind and in our speaking, okay? So the revealing word says, God is I am, and we, who spring from God, made in the image of likeness of God, we are also I am. That is why the use of I am correctly is so important. So I am is our indwelling Lord of life, love, wisdom, and all the ideas eternally in divine mind. Okay, so when you say I am, you're bringing into action, mind action, okay, these eternal ideas in divine mind. I am is a name that points your mind towards the truth of your being. Okay, so this is why it is so important to learn how to harness the power of your I am by only using it to contemplate and speak thoughts and words that bring the good that God is into your mind, body, life, and affairs. Not easy, I know. Okay? We have to keep catching ourselves, you know, in terms of the right use of our I am. So a good rule of thumb to use for right-minded thinking is to ask yourself, are my I am thoughts and words patterned after faith, peace, love, and joy? Are my I am thoughts and words lifting me and my life up to higher levels of thinking and being? If they're not, you need to reevaluate, we need to reevaluate how we're using that idea. So, why are we learning about the different names and natures of God as perceived by the authors of the Bible? Well, it is to be, help us to understand the perception from which the authors in the Bible were writing. It also helps us to make the transition from Old Testament thinking to New Testament thinking. See, Jehovah God in the Old Testament is Christ in the New Testament. So when Jesus spoke of the Father, he was referring to Elohim God, first cause, that aspect of God that forms the divine pattern in our consciousness for absorption into God thinking. I was going to say divine pattern for the things we want in our lives, but the thing we really want is back to that definition of a mystic. It's the absorption into divinity. Not some divinity outside of us, but the divinity within our own self, the divine pattern of the divine that's already within us. So if you ever found yourself wondering when you had a great idea, you know, you ever say to yourself, where did that idea come from? Well, it came from Elohim God. You asked, and God said, let there be, okay? However, when Jesus used the words, I am, to begin a statement such as, I am the resurrection and the life, okay? See, I am in Jesus was the resurrection, which we want as well, and the life. We want to be continuously resurrected from negative thinking, fearful thinking, okay? And we want to be brought back into the life of spirit. So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life, he was referring to Yahweh God. That aspect of God that continuously interacts with us and through us to bring the divine ideas we receive from Elohim God into manifestation in our lives. Again, we ask, Elohim God says, let there be, purely pattern. But now we're looking for that divine ideas and whatnot we got to actually come into manifestation, okay? Mind, idea, expression. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we're looking for that idea, and Holy Spirit is another way of referring to Yahweh. So we're looking for that to come into our lives. And the main point in this explanation is to realize that this divine activity is always happening within us, whether or not we realize it. Okay, so as we are speaking and thinking, this divine activity is happening. We're creating a pattern in Elohim God. Elohim is saying, let there be. And then if we keep pushing whatever that pattern is, eventually Yahweh God, the presence that we're looking for in our lives, goes to and get into action. It's always happening. And it's not making a different distinction between our negative request and our positive requests, our loving requests and our fearful requests, our worried requests and our faithful requests. It's not making a distinction, okay? So becoming able to realize what you are receiving comes from thinking and being like a mystic, a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with the divine through absorption into the divinity within. Okay. So in the Old Testament, Jehovah God or Lord God was perceived as an external ruler. If you read the Old Testament, that's what it always looked like, that God was an external ruler. However, Jesus wanted to embrace the fact that God is both transcendent and immanent, meaning God is within and without. God is everywhere present as a presence. Okay? And so, and that's where Jesus came up with Father, actually Abba, which is the actual name, you know, colloquial name at the time for Father, Abba, because he wanted to give the people of that time a more intimate connection with God, okay? And as Paul said in Acts 17:28, we know this, in God we live and move and have our being, okay? So Jesus was trying to do that. He was trying to upgrade and expand the meaning of Jehovah in the minds of the people from external ruler to the divine consciousness that is also within us, okay? And as Jesus said in Luke 17:21, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? So understanding the different names of God is also helpful in understanding the process of creation that becomes answers to our prayers. We pray, sometimes we just pray and we hope. We talked about that last week. We pray and we hope that what we're praying for is going to happen. Okay? So we want to understand that in the prayer, when we pray, the process of creation begins, okay? And it can become an answer to the prayer based on our consciousness of how we let that process happen. We perceive it, receive it, and, you know, and accept it, all right? So Elohim God develops in mind the pattern for creation to occur. I know I'm repeating, but I want us to get this. Elohim God develops in mind, let's make it more personal, our mind. Elohim God develops a pattern in our mind for creation to occur. You ask, the Lord said, Elohim God said, let there be, creates the pattern in our mind for the creation to occur. Yahweh God or Jehovah God or Lord God or I am, all the same, brings that pattern into manifestation. So when you make a spiritual claim like, I am whole and well, I am whole and well, you're declaring that. Not just affirming it, you are declaring it. It is Yahweh you are acknowledging as the God action that will make it so. You see, Elohim ideates and Yahweh creates. That's probably a good summary for that thought. Think about Elohim as the one who puts the pattern for what you're asking for into your consciousness, and Yahweh is the one who moves and brings that into expression. Now, one more tidbit of information to help us understand this whole nature of God thing. As we said, Jehovah God, or I Am, in Hebrew, is written Yahweh, okay? Y-A-H-W-E-H. The first part of it, Y-A-H, Yah, encompasses the divine masculine. And the second part, W-E-H, away, encompasses the divine feminine. The name Yahweh is a composition of masculine and feminine energies and represents the joining together of wisdom and love, now listen to this, as a procreating nucleus, okay? So wisdom and love moving together, when you're calling on Yahweh, you're calling on both the divine masculine and the divine feminine, okay, working together as a procreating nucleus, meaning Yahweh actually causes stuff to happen, right? Like causing our prayers to be answered and manifested in our life experience. So to repeat, Elohim, or universal mind, creates patterns for things to happen. And Yahweh, Jehovah God, causes things to come into expression. So Elohim, or universal mind, imagined itself and all that it created, okay? All the ideas of Elohim God, the one Jesus called God the Father, are contained in the divine idea self of every one of us. So that's another little tidbit. Within you, within me, is the divine idea self. So when we're asking or thinking or trying to figure out something, we are kind of massaging or activating the divine idea self, okay? So all the ideas of Elohim God, the one Jesus called God the Father, are contained in the divine idea self of every one of us. And Yahweh exists within you as you, containing all the divine idea patterns of Elohim. So when Jesus Christ then represents the perfection of all the ideas of Elohim God made manifest in a person. Okay, so if your desire is to be more spiritually evolved, you want your consciousness to be raised from a spiritual perspective, okay, all the ideas of Elohim God to make that happen are already within you. Okay, so as we say, Jesus Christ is our supreme example, our way shower, guiding us to the Yahweh possibilities that lie within each one of us. Okay, so the Christ within us is our supreme example. It already exists within us. It's our way shower, guiding us to the Yahweh possibilities that lie within each one of us. And when we say all the divine ideas of Elohim God already exist within us, you say, well, how did God know that I wanted this or wanted that? Okay, you got to remember, God is in us as us. God is in you as you, okay? Knowing every thought, feeling, emotion, every electrical impulse that's running through you, your blood, everything, okay? So everything you do is impacting the divinity that you are. So Jesus tried to show us that we each have within us all the richness, all the ideas of Elohim. And these ideas exist within us as the embodiment of our indwelling Christ. Okay, so as Jesus said in John 16:15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said to the Father, that's why I said that the Father will take from what is mine and make it known to you. All right? Jesus knew that he was endowed with all the attributes of Elohim God, the pattern of our divine operating system. So his purpose on earth was to lay the foundation within the consciousness of humankind to realize that we are also endowed with all that the Father is. And as it says in Mysteries of Genesis, all things exist as ideas, but these ideas are manifest only as our spiritual self becomes conscious of them. And we become conscious of the divine ideas as we learn how to take time to be still and enter into the mindset of a mystic, which comes through contemplation and self-surrender, so as to obtain unity with the divine within us. Okay. And this manner of communion with God is expressed in the verse in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." But the idea of being still was first introduced to us in Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested. Meaning Elohim, first cause, became still, setting an example for all of us to follow. So let me leave you with this thought. Your spiritual journey is your spiritual journey, and no one can tell you how to do it. And yes, they will try, but your only true guidance comes through you. No one can tell you how to pray. Yes, they will try, but the best way for you to pray will be revealed to you through you. So take time often to just be still in your own way and listen, and you will eventually connect with the spiritual path and manner of prayer that works for you. And I'm going to leave you with this affirmation, which is from today's Science of Mind magazine. It said, "There is nothing in me that can doubt that good is making its appearance in all my life experiences. Thank you, God, for your presence in my life." And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, find that comfortable space where you are. Let us take in 3 deep breaths. 3 deep breaths in and 3 exhales. In this meditation, we will cultivate the feeling of gratitude. Adjust your position so you're relaxed and all of your muscles can let go. You can move at any time during this session in order to give you maximum comfort. Allow your eyes to gently close or take that downward gaze. Take another deep breath in and out. Once again, take another deep breath in and bring to your mind the feeling of gratitude. Now notice where in your body is this feeling of gratitude being expressed. Do you feel it rise in your heart? Perhaps your abdomen. Wherever you feel these sensations, study their quality. Are they subtle or not so subtle? You may feel grateful for something or someone you have brought into your mind, like your family, your friends, your home, and your work. Breathe deeply into your thought. As you imagine these things or people, and as you exhale, whisper to yourself, "Thank you." Express gratitude for those you know. Allow this thing or person or animal to rise in your mind. See them clearly. Breathe deeply into your imagination. Perhaps you can even hear how they sound. As you breathe out, whisper to yourself, "Thank you." Become grateful for yourself, your help, your wisdom, your kindness. Be grateful for those times you stood up for yourself or for someone else. Be grateful for your ability to love others. Breathing deeply, imagining that you can give yourself a big hug and whisper, "Thank you." Take another deep breath and be grateful for your breath that brings you life. Now take your grateful and abundant heart into the secret place of the Most High, where you are now in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Here you allow your good to flow over you, through you, and out into your world. Join with me now as we all go to that deeper place where Spirit awaits our willingness to be one. and Now Unity family in this moment of gratitude. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. And when you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join us.
And there's some technical difficulty with the music.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the time we open our hearts and minds and allow some of the, allow, just be aware of the blessings that come into our lives, all of the good that comes into our lives. And so with that in mind, I want you to just hold the things you're grateful for as we say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And then this next blessing is our offering blessing. This is where we're thankful for all the offerings that come in to support Unity Center of Light. We ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, October the 15th. So on Sunday, October 22nd, our guest speaker will be the Reverend Galen McDowell. This will be live via Zoom. Reverend McDowell is the Executive Minister, Senior Assistant Minister, and Director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois. His topic on the 22nd is Creating a New Life Story. So please read your e-newsletters and your updates as there is additional information for you. The Book Light Book Club's next read is the Oprah Winfrey book called What I Know for Sure. This book is a compilation of Oprah's essays on joy, resilience, connection, awe, gratitude, possibility, clarity, and power. These essays give us a rare and intimate glimpse into the heart and mind of one of the world's most extraordinary women. The discussion will be held on Zoom Sunday, November the 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. On Sunday, October 29th, our guest speaker is Chris Krause, a licensed Unity teacher. This is live via Zoom. Chris is currently a ministerial candidate with the Unity Urban Ministerial School and was a spiritual leader for 2 years with Unity in Frederick, Maryland. Chris sees becoming an ordained minister as the next step in her spiritual evolution. Her talk title is With Friends Like These, so be sure to tune in. And our next in-person and Zoom service will be Sunday, November the 5th, with special music from Courtney Hinton. We would love to see, she'll be on Zoom, yes. We would love to see more of our congregation gathered together. Please join us. And on this same Sunday, we would appreciate some help with our refreshments. If you can help, please call Patty. And that concludes our announcements for the day.
Okay. So now.
So now it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we're very thankful today for having you be with us and allow us to serve you, and hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. So have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.